Dear friends in Jesus Christ, we come to the topic of forgiveness today, so I'm hoping with what I have to say, we can better understand it, we can enjoy it, realizing how great God's forgiveness is to us and that we have it, and then I'm hoping that the joy of what we have, that is going to move us to extend that forgiveness to others. As we think about forgiveness, it has been provided for us, God's plan, through the work of Jesus, and then God, by the Holy Spirit, giving us that gift of saving faith. When I think about forgiveness, it's so important because it deals with relationship. When God is forgiving us and we have that forgiveness, then we have relationship with God. When others sin against us, and we extend forgiveness to them, or if it's the opposite, when there is forgiveness, the relationship continues. If God stops forgiving us, our relationship with God is over. If forgiveness stops between us and someone else, the relationship is over. It's just that important. We could say that that forgiveness is kind of like the glue that holds a relationship together. I have a couple pieces of old wood here, but these pieces of wood, they're separate. There's no relationship between the wood. But if I put some glue here and some glue here, and I clamp these together for a while, it would be almost impossible to pull them apart. So glue and wood is a very important thing. Forgiveness and people, forgiveness and God is a very important thing. I want to try to touch on some aspects of forgiveness today that maybe are some things that we haven't thought about before. First of all, who is involved with forgiveness? It is God, it is us, it is others. Some people want to say, oh no, it's just between God and me, that's it. Other people, they're not involved. I want you to know very clearly, it has to be all three, God, us, and others. When we think about God, of course, God is eternal, God is almighty in power, but God is gracious and merciful and holy and all kinds of many other awesome things. What can be said about us? Well, for the sake of this particular brochure, for the sake of this sermon, let's think about all of us as being repentant sinners. Repentant sinners. That's a good thing. What does that mean, though? Well, it means the Holy Spirit has worked within us, so we know we have sinned against God. We're not trying to like explain away our sins, saying, oh, I really didn't sin because he made me do it, or it's not really my fault. No, we admit we are sinners. We have sinned against God Almighty. We also know we are deserving of hell. The Bible teaches that way. It's a very sharp way to put it, but the Bible makes that clear. Also, too, we know we are helpless to escape. It doesn't matter about coming to church or giving money or being good to other people. No matter how much we do of that stuff, we cannot escape the eternal punishment that our sins deserve. The Bible is clear about that. Also, too, though, the Holy Spirit has worked forgiveness of sins within us. We know what we have done, and we're like, oh, dear God, I know that's against you. I know that's wrong. I am heartily sorry for those sins. The Holy Spirit works that within us. And then what does the Holy Spirit do? He gives us a gift of faith by which we are trusting in Jesus for eternal life. That's what it means to be a repentant sinner. When we think about others, so I said forgiveness involves God, us, and others. When we think about others, for the sake of this brochure, for the sake of this sermon, let's think about other people being unrepentant sinners. So in a sense, we could say all the things I said about being repentant, we're talking about people being the opposite of that. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to set it up in a way that these would be people that are really hard to forgive. People who are not admitting their sins, people who are not sorry for their sins, people who are rejecting Jesus Christ. What do we do with those kinds of people? Maybe I should say, first of all, what does God do with those kinds of people? And then, what are we called to do with such people? That's really where we're going today with this sermon. Thinking about what I'm calling the forgiveness diagram, such a simple thing, so we can see God, us, and others, and we can see how the forgiveness is flowing from God to us, so it is coming from God to us because of Jesus Christ and because of the work that he has done, and then because we have received God's forgiveness, now we are called in turn to extend that forgiveness to others. Now, is that an optional thing? Like, okay, we have God's forgiveness, but we can either extend the forgiveness or we can pass on it. Either way is fine with God. Is that how it works? Well, sometimes people think that's the case. So we can think about like this and say, okay, I've got the forgiveness coming to me, but I don't like what that guy did, and I don't want to forgive him, and in fact, I'm not going to forgive him. So if I decide to stop the forgiveness from me to him, why is that a huge problem? That's a huge problem because the Bible is very clear that then God says, okay, if you're not going to forgive that guy, I am not going to forgive you. That's why it becomes a huge, huge problem. Oftentimes, I think we try to justify ourselves and we try to come up with some kind of a legitimate reason that I can withhold the forgiveness here, and I think it's still going to continue to come here. I've looked in the Bible, and I can't find that legitimate reason. Even though we're pretty clever people at coming up with our own reasons, but I can't find it in here. Let's go further and see if we can understand this a little bit better. So I want to talk about God's forgiveness to us. So I want to talk about several things in here. I want to talk about the timing of God's forgiveness, the justification of God's forgiveness, God gifting us his forgiveness, and also the thoroughness of God's forgiveness. So going back to the timing of it, this should be an amazing thing to us. So when did God plan to forgive us? It's interesting in the Bible, God planned to forgive us before he created the world. Isn't that interesting? So before anyone fell into sin, God had already planned to forgive us for our sins. It tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1, Christ was foreknown before the foundation of the world. We don't need Christ if there is no sin and there's not going to be any forgiveness, but Christ was foreknown before God even created. And then, what did God decide to do? No matter how people were to God, God decided to provide forgiveness for all people, and he decided to do that in one single day. So he planned it before creation. He set the plan in motion there in Genesis chapter 3, and then over and over again in the Old Testament, we see all these reminders of God's ultimate plan for forgiveness, and we have a good reminder of it there in Zechariah chapter 3. God said, I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. What is iniquity? Iniquity is sin, but it is even more than sin. Iniquity is wickedness. Like we might say, oh, that guy sinned against me, I'll forgive him. But then we might say, oh, that was a super wicked thing that he did to me. I'm not going to forgive that. But isn't it amazing, though, that God planned to take away not only the regular sins, he planned to take away even the wickedness. He did that in one day. What day is that talking about? That day is Good Friday. That's the day that he took away the sin of the world. That is such an important day. That is a very important day for us to gather each year and remember what God has done. That parallels the Day of Atonement in the Old Testament. The Day of Atonement, that was the most important day in the entire year. Good Friday is our Day of Atonement as we are living now in the New Testament era. And then thinking about God's justification. So God can't simply say, hey, I'm God, I can do anything, so I forgive you. God can't do that. God is a just God. So what does God have to use as the basis for which he forgives us? First of all, he has to send his son to put on flesh, and then Jesus perfectly fulfills the law. Jesus said in Matthew 5, I did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. And then Jesus has to do the second step. He has to permit sinful people like you and me to nail him to a cross, and then God the Father took all sins of all time and put them on his son. So we go to a prophecy here. So 700 years before Jesus even did his work, it says in Isaiah 53, all of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity, pick up again the term iniquity, the sin, the wickedness of us all to fall on him. And then what did God the Father do? He looked down from heaven, he saw one sinner, and then he poured out all of his wrath, all of the eternal punishment, he poured it out upon his son. So Christ did all of that. That's why God is justified in forgiving. God isn't saying, oh, you sin, but I'll just let it go. No, the price has been paid. The full price has been paid. And then on the topic of gifting, when God looks upon us, God knows that we are poor, miserable sinners. God knows there is nothing we can do to earn his forgiveness. But the amazing thing is, God loves us so much, God wants us to have the forgiveness so bad, that what he does is he gives it to us, he offers it to us as a gift. Think about what it says there in Romans 6, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So anytime we have the gift of eternal life, we have forgiveness. That's a package. They go together. You can't have one without the other. And then thinking about the thoroughness of God's forgiveness. Have you ever had this happen where someone sins against you and you're like, okay, I don't like what I did, so I forgive you, but. Anytime there's a but there, that is not full forgiveness, is it? Well, I forgive you, but I never want to talk to you again. You know, we want to put conditions on it, don't we? Is that how we are to forgive? By no means. What does the Bible say? We're familiar here with 1 John chapter 1. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, to wash us completely clean. God's not holding anything back. It's all forgiven. It's all forgotten. There's a passage in Micah where it says that God basically takes all of our sins and he casts them into the deepest part of the ocean. And I can't remember now the famous person who said it, but based on that passage, they said, after he takes our sins and casts them into the deepest part of the ocean, then God puts up a sign that says, no fishing. So, or we could think about how God separates us from our sins as far as the east is from the west. It is an infinite distance. Isn't this so wonderful? Now, sometimes we don't feel that way, but what should we do, though? Should we go with how we feel, or should we go with what God's word says? Let's always go with what God's word says. I want to touch on now God's forgiveness to others. So keep in mind, we're talking about people who are unrepentant sinners. So they might not even be acknowledging their sins. They're not sorry for their sins. They're not trusting in Jesus Christ. So what does God do toward them? The amazing thing is God offers all of them, as well as you and me, he is offering everyone the gift of forgiveness. Think about John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So God gave his son into the world because he loves the world. When the Bible uses the term world, it's talking about the fallen world. It's talking about the sinful world, the rebellious world. But God gave his son into that world so that whoever would believe in him, so the whoever is including everyone. So whoever out there in that whole mess of humanity, whoever out there would believe in my son, they will have eternal life. So God is offering the forgiveness to everyone. Now, does everyone have it? Well, they don't. That's the second part. So we have a transaction going on here. God is making the full offer, but people have to receive. They have to receive it or they don't have it. When we think about the receiving, I think about what it says here so simply in 1 John chapter 5, where it says, he who has the Son has the life. So it doesn't have to be real complicated about having like a 10-step thing to follow to know whether or not we have eternal life, when we know that we are sinners, that we are deserving of hell, that we are helpless to fix it, and then God makes us sorry and gives us a gift of faith. He wants us to know that the gift of faith means that we have our faith in Jesus. It is in Jesus for eternal life, and he wants us to know that we have that gift of eternal life. We have God's full and free forgiveness. Again, we might not feel that way all the time, but God wants us to know, according to his word, such things are true. But let me add this in here too, though. Sadly, those who keep living in unrepentance, we have a whole world full of people that just keep living in unrepentance. For all such people, they are continuing to reject Jesus Christ and to reject God's gift of forgiveness. So it's extended to everyone, but most people are not receiving it because they continue in unrepentance. What is the call to the whole world today? Repent, because when you repent, then you have Jesus, then you have forgiveness, then you have heaven. That's what God wants for everyone, but we know that many are still in that state of unrepentance. This is really the part I wanted to get to now. So forgiveness from us to others. Let's understand that that forgiveness has to pattern, or that has to parallel the forgiveness from God to us. Think about the diagram. So the forgiveness is coming from God to us, and now it needs to move from us to others. I'm going to come to some lists here in a few moments. But first of all, though, let's think about this topic of these different connections. So how God, us, and others are connected. So first of all, let's go to the Lord's Prayer. So you know how we pray the prayer, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Sometimes there are people using a different version where they talk about debts and debtors, and actually either way is acceptable, but if you take a look at the Greek text in the Bible, debts and debtors are actually more accurate to the Greek than trespasses. But let's think about it the other way here for a moment. So some people pray, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. So what's going on there with debts and debtors? When we sin against God, we owe God a debt. The problem is we cannot pay that debt no matter what. So we are saying, God, I know I owe you a debt, but I'm asking you, because of who Jesus is and what he has done, and because of my God-given faith in him, I'm asking you to forgive me that debt, and I'm asking you to forgive me that debt in exactly the same way that I am forgiving the debts of others who have sinned against me. That is so critical. So think about how we tend to forgive others. We tend to be slow in forgiving. We tend to be partial in forgiving. We tend sometimes not to want to forgive at all. If we are doing any of that, that is exactly what we're saying to God. We are saying, oh, dear Father in heaven, please forgive me slowly. Please forgive me partially. Do we ever want to pray such a prayer? By no means. That would be terrible to do that, because if we do not have God's free and full forgiveness, then there is no relationship with God. So that forgiveness is so critical from us to others, because again, if that is not proper from us to others, then it's not going to come from God to us. Thinking about the Lord's Prayer a little bit further, we find the short version of it in Luke chapter 11. We find the full version of the Lord's Prayer there in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9, 10, 11, 12, and 13. So that's right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, is where Jesus is giving the full version of the Lord's Prayer. So it ends with verse 13, and then what did Jesus say in verses 14 and 15? He said, "For if you forgive men for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions." It's as if Jesus was thinking about what he said with the prayer, and he's like, "Whew, I just touched on something that is maybe the most important thing in the entire world in the fifth petition of the Lord's Prayer. I better repeat that again to make sure people got it." So when we refuse to forgive others, Jesus is making it so clear, God will not forgive us. Is that the only place where we find that in the Bible? Take a look in Matthew chapter 18, or take a look in Mark chapter 11, or plenty of other places in the Bible where it's saying the very same thing. We shouldn't try to somehow get out of not forgiving. Rather, what I'm trying to do today is I want you to be so rejoicing in the kind of forgiveness that comes from God to us. We should just be like in such awe. We should just be so overwhelmed that God would forgive us. And then that excitement, that joy, that overwhelming peace would then move us to fully forgive others. Let's go just a little bit further here. There's an important difference I want to talk about with forgiveness. And I think this can be a hang-up for people when it comes to forgiving. So when God forgives us, what kind of forgiveness is he giving to us? That forgiveness is God's forgiveness. Now, when I forgive someone else, am I giving that person God's forgiveness? Now, when I stand here in the church and say, "In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins," that's not my forgiveness. That is God's forgiveness. But in my day-to-day life, if someone sins against me and I say, "I forgive you," I'm not giving them God's forgiveness. I'm giving them my forgiveness. Sometimes people say, "That person did a really bad thing to me, and if I forgive him, he's going to get away with it. If I forgive him, he's going to get away with it." Is that true? That's not true at all, because when I extend forgiveness to that person, I am giving him my forgiveness. I'm not giving him God's forgiveness. Why am I motivated to give him my forgiveness? Because maybe I could say it's a selfish thing. I want to make sure that the channel of forgiveness is continuing to come from God to me. So that's part of my motivation to say, I need to make sure that forgiveness is going from me to others. But again, though, keep in mind, we are extending our forgiveness. But whatever that person has done, that person needs to be reconciled with God. So when I say, "I forgive you," that's not getting him off the hook with God. Make sense? Let me try to summarize some things I've said here. So when we think about God's forgiveness to us, so let's rejoice in all these things. So God planned it before we sinned. God offers it to us as a gift. God offers it to us when we are not even sorry. He's offering us his forgiveness. That's amazing. God offers it to us when we do not deserve it. Can anybody deserve God's forgiveness? We can't. But he offers it when we do not deserve it, and he offers it freely, fully, and immediately. Let's just marvel at that list and just be like, oh, dear God, this is so amazing. How could you do this? Why would you do this? Well, we have the reason right here, but it's because of God's love that moved him to send his son. God is giving us things that are just so far beyond what we could ever ask for, what we could ever deserve, and yet he does it. All those things are true when God's forgiveness comes from him to us in Christ. What about God's forgiveness to others? Well, he offers it to everyone. He's not saying, oh, you sin so much, you're not getting my forgiveness. No, he offers it to everyone, no matter how little people have sinned, no matter how much they have sinned, it's offered to everyone. And then, let's keep in mind that only those who receive it actually have it. Even as we are gathered here today, there are certain gifts of truth and forgiveness and so on that God is offering to everyone here. For those who chose not to come today, they're not able to receive because they're not here. And even for us being here, it doesn't necessarily mean that we automatically have what God is offering, but he wants us to know in our hearts that we need it, and he wants us to gladly receive it. Imagine if you were outside during this past week when it was about 12 degrees and you're standing there with a t-shirt on and you're out there for about a half hour and then somebody comes by with a very warm winter coat. Would you be glad to receive? By all means, you would say, give me that coat, and you'd put it on, and boy, it would feel so good. God wants us to know that we need forgiveness even much more than that warm winter coat on a very cold day. And then, finally here, I want to talk about our forgiveness to others. That's what we're talking about here. So I want you to see how this is a parallel here between God's forgiveness to us and then our forgiveness to others. And again, keep in mind, these people are unrepentant, they're not sorry, but yet, because God does what he does toward us, we are called to do the same toward others. So how do we deal with it? Well, we should plan to forgive other people before they even sin. We don't wait until they sin and then make a decision. No, we are saying, God, whoever it is out there, no matter what they do to me, no matter how small or how great, I'm planning to forgive them. So we make that a plan right up front. Also, too, we offer forgiveness to people as a gift. We're not waiting to say, well, once you start doing things differently and once you deserve my forgiveness, then I'll give it to you. No, they can never deserve it. We're always offering it as a gift. So important to offer it as a gift. We have the great gift from God. We offer the great gift to others. We also offer it even when they're not sorry, even when they're laughing at us and saying, you are foolish to even think about forgiving me. I'm not sorry for anything, and I would do it 10 times again. Even that person, we extend the gift of forgiveness. Is that a tough thing? By all means. Is that important? Is that how God forgives us? It is. It's important that we extend the same to others. And we offer it to people when they do not deserve it. Sometimes people do something wrong, and then they do something to kind of make up for it. And then we might say, oh, I didn't like what you did here, but because you did that, now I'll give you the forgiveness. No, we don't wait until they deserve it. We are offering the forgiveness unconditionally. And then also, too, it's important that our forgiveness is free, it is full, and it is immediate. such important things. Isn't that so wonderful when God's forgiveness to us is free, full, and immediate? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that wonderful? So let's extend that same forgiveness to others, free, full, and immediate. Easier said than done, but we ask God to help us, to strengthen us, to proceed in such ways. It's important. Let me conclude in this way today. So if you think about the picture that I have on the front of the brochure, we see this wild bird that's been confined, and think about the freedom that that bird has as it flies away. We have even much greater freedom because we were bound by our sins. We were getting pulled to a horrible eternity, and then with God's gift of forgiveness, now we are free. We are forgiven. We have eternal life. We are the children of God, and so many other wonderful things. Now, having been set free by the Almighty God, let us free others. So no matter what they've done against us, let's forgive them. Let's free them. And by freeing them, what can happen? They might not be expecting us to forgive them. Maybe they've done a horrible thing against us, and when we say to them, "You have my forgiveness," when we say that, that's going to catch their attention, and that could possibly be something that God uses in order to bring them to the knowledge of the truth and ultimately to faith in Jesus Christ. So it's important that we are freely, fully, and immediately forgiving other people. And then one final thing I want to mention today. Maybe you've had this in your own life, I know I have, where I've had people over the years do some pretty hurtful things toward me, kind of like over and over again for an extended period of time, and I'm struggling with that and waking up in the middle of the night and such. And then finally I got to the point where God helped me understand more about forgiveness. So I was forgiving them. I'm thinking, "Dear God, you have forgiven me this way, so I have to forgive them." And I'm doing the best I can just to forgive them and say, "I'm going to extend it. I don't care what the situation is. I'm going to extend the forgiveness." But still, though, something was bothering me a little bit even after I extended the forgiveness. But you know what fixed the whole thing, though? What does Jesus say about our enemies? He says we should pray for our enemies. What I found on multiple occasions is as soon as I started to pray for these people who had done hurtful things toward me, as soon as I started to do that, almost immediately I had God's peace. I'm sleeping like a baby at night. Well, maybe I shouldn't say it that way. Sometimes babies are up at night. I was sleeping great at night, and it was like the whole matter was taken care of. So it's so important, extend the forgiveness, and then maybe that guy is like the last person in the whole world you want to pray for, but pray for him. Pray for him that he would be sorry for what he did. Pray for him that he would know God's truth. Pray for him that he would have the gift of eternal life. When we pray in that way, God will bless us with peace, and God might even bless that person with eternal salvation. Well, I hope that God will help us to do the best we can to incorporate all of these things into our lives so we can truly rejoice in what we have, and we can gladly extend all such blessings to other people. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, you know how we have been hurt by other people, but let us remember that we have greatly hurt you by our sins, and yet you have freely, fully, and immediately extended forgiveness to us in Christ. Thank you, dear Father, for what you have done for us, and help us now to not hold back forgiveness by any means, but help us to know more and more about what you have done for us, and help us to extend forgiveness more and more to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.